In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. From Paul to the Philippians, chapter 3, verse 14. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Today is the feast of St. Paul, the apostle who announced the message of Christianity to the Gentile world. The first part of the third chapter of his epistle to the Philippians is a concentrated expression of his message. And it was made under pressure from those he calls workers of evil because they undermined the freedom granted to believers through the work of Christ to live by faith and not by totting up virtuous acts according to the law. In verse 14, Paul says he is pressing forward to the prize of his high calling. He has committed himself to a journey of faith, and everything he previously valued is as nothing compared with what he has found now in Christ. I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And that knowledge of Christ is the difference between death and resurrection. For Paul, it is a matter of life and death. But for us, maybe, a matter of religious preference or inclination or intuition. So what is at stake here, and why does it matter? I ask why it matters because it's easy to think it does not matter much. We quite easily suppose that the world is divided into those who think there is nothing beyond our material existence, and those who think there must be something else or something more. And we just as easily suppose that those who believe there is something more, a higher power, some transcendent presence veiled in the fabric of the world, are agreed about the one thing necessary, which is love of God and of neighbour. So now let me take a risk. Commentators in the press talk about religion in general. For example, to say it is essentially peaceful but perverted by politics, or that it is essentially violent. And from the point of view of the social sciences, this is utter nonsense. There is no such thing as religion in general, which allows us to suppose religious people think this or do that, or irreligious people think this or do that. Religion in general is a fantasy. There are only particular faiths. And Paul confronted the Gentile world with a very particular faith. When Paul proclaimed Christ crucified to the Greek world in Athens and to Rome, he was not offering an improved version of Greco-Roman religion or a creative revision of the idea that Caesar Augustus could become another god in the pantheon of the gods. Christianity was the shock of the new and different. Even for Jews, equipped with a slipway of understanding. The very idea of God revealed in an unjustly convicted, humiliated, suffering man was a scandal. And it remains a scandal for the other so-called Abrahamic religions. I'm saying we do not all really believe the same thing. And Rabbi Jonathan Sacks has a good word for it, the dignity of difference. And I want initially to illustrate difference, not by working over Paul's distinction between the dead works of the flesh and the living fruits of the spirit, but by evoking two very different kinds of experience. The Russian Orthodox Christian composer Sonia Gubadalaina is the granddaughter of a Tatar imam and the child of atheist parents under the Soviet regime. She lived a life of sensory deprivation in a Soviet apartment with only the sky to lift her horizons beyond the concrete and beyond the rubbish dumps. But she had two religious experiences. One, when she was seized by joy at the contemplation of intricate patterns in the mosque, and the other, at the age of five, when she responded to the face of Jesus portrayed on an icon. The image of God revealed in a pattern is a world away from the image of God revealed in a human face. I can enjoy the pattern of Bach's chromatic fantasy, but it is not the same as my response to, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, in the Matthew Passion. Paul's faith turns on the hymn to Christ revealed in our humanity in the second chapter of Philippians. And that hymn contains three parts. The first concerns the humiliation of Christ, the second, his exaltation, and the third concerns the worship that is rightly his, that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The humiliation of Christ means what Paul calls his self-emptying, his coming alongside us to share in our weakness. We worship the Father revealed in the face of the Son. God is understood in his divine humanity, in his self-offering. And the divine is not protected by special immunity, but suffers violence and rejection. For Christian faith, the immortal dies. But the exaltation of Christ means that he takes our wounded humanity into God. It is our face that stands in the holy place. And we're not talking about humanity reaching deep into outer space, but humanity reaching deep into inner space to be taken into God. The one that descended into hell is the one that ascended into heaven. And that's the pattern of the creed: descent into death and chaos, ascent into life and new creation. Christian faith embraces strength in weakness. Because Christ became all that we are, we may become all that he is. Our humanity is incorporated in the life of God. And here we come, finally, to the difference celebrated by Paul. Because our incorporation in God occurs by loving invitation, not in virtue of what we deserve. We are not redeemed by our deserts, but through faith and trust. And this is where we move from the great hymn in chapter 2 to the great affirmation of salvation by trust and faithfulness in chapter 3. Paul desires to be found in Christ, clothed in his garments. He appeals to grace, not to the law. And this, for him, is the difference between slavery and liberty. For Paul, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, circumcised a Hebrew of the Hebrews, the freedom of the Spirit has superseded the demands of the law. Christ, by becoming a slave, has destroyed the bondage of sin and death to bring life and liberty to light. Let us pray. Grant that we may discover your presence in the face of Jesus Christ, who, though he suffered violence, did not offer violence in return. May we, through his embrace of our humanity, embrace the freedom of the Spirit and enjoy the fruits of grace. Amen.
Amen.